Good morning, listeners, and you're welcome to this week's Ag Report. I'm Jim Finn. Now, later on in the programme, I will be talking to Joe Lyons about an Ag Forum that's taking place in the hall in Callan. I will also be talking to Michael Kelly from Grow It Yourself, and Michael will be talking about his new television programme, Food Matters. And my final guest this morning will be Kim Gray, and she's talking about community grants that are going to be given out by Change X. My first guest this morning is Donal Milan, and Donal is the regional manager with Chagas for North and South Tipperary. Good morning, Donal. It's good to have you back on air again.
Morning, Jim.
First of all, let's start off. What is the general situation with farming at the moment?
I suppose you'll always start with the weather, Jim.
Right.
We'd like it to improve this morning, but at this stage we've had a lot of rain. We had a kind of a long dry period there. We had a share of rain now, and I suppose particularly stock now, kind of getting out and getting going and that. The days are getting longer, so what we badly do is the weather picking up a small bit, you know. Look, at the dairy side, the prices have come back a bit. Certainly last year was a marvellous year, but prices have come back a bit. That was kind of predicted, I suppose. A lot of cows calves at this stage were going pretty well, I suppose, you know. So hopefully, look, things will steady up now, and it'll be another pretty good year in dairy again, hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
On the dry stock side, then, there's a kind of a big move towards organics. Cattle prices and so forth are pretty good at the moment. But as I said to you, there's a fairly big move towards organics. We're running a whole heap of courses and stuff there now at the moment for people that are going into that. They're mainly coming from the dry stock side, you know. The grants and that now are fairly good there on those, you know.
Yeah.
Then on the tillage side, again, it's kind of back to weather. There's a share of ground ploughed, I'd say, for spring barley and stuff like that. But probably better off if it wasn't ploughed. It'll probably take a bit longer to dry out. I think there's about a third of the spring barley sown, and the winter crops are looking fairly well. So, look, that's a kind of a quick roundup, I suppose, really, Jim. No?
That's great. Can I bring you back then to the dairying just for a second? It wouldn't want to fall back much more than it has fallen back over the past couple of months, Donal, would it?
Because it wouldn't, Jim, because costs have gone up significantly, as you know. Now, branches, there seems to be an indication of fertiliser prices are going down. That's very welcome. But for absolute sure. But I suppose you're dealing with world markets. You've got the ups and downs of that, you know. So hopefully it will steady out from that now.
Right. Okay. Now, there are a lot of changes taking place as well. Some of these changes are confusing farmers.
Yeah, sure. This, every day you read the papers, there's something new coming around, isn't there? I mean, even in our own office, I suppose the big driver now over the next period is going to be trying to meet these climate change targets. And I know from ourselves now, we're after employing 26 new climate advisors specifically just to deal with the climate, and we'll have two of those in Tipperary, and that whole climate thing now is going to be led by George Ramsbottom. George, a farmer dairy specialist, be well known to a lot of your listeners, Jim. George did a nice job there. But all our advisors are going to have to keep the climate situation very much as a priority in their dealings with farmers, because farmers themselves are very keen to do the right thing around climate. And look, a lot of what we're going to be pushing there is the things like the less slurry spreading, the protected urea, clover, you know, the sort of tried and proven things that are there at the moment. A lot of people are on them, and I suppose really what we want to do is widen out the uptake, get more of an uptake across, if you like, all farmers. I don't know if you'll ever achieve that, but as widely as possible, you know. So that's sort of, I say, the big driver there, over the next while, on top of the usual, technical issues and, all the putting technology into dairying, putting it into dry stock and tillage, etc., you know. But the environment has become quite important, and I suppose just to make you aware as well, as we've recently taken on an organic advisor as well, Orla Walsh, and she's there. She's sort of currently completing organic courses with farmers and stuff there at the moment, so she'll be getting to meet a lot of the organic people as time goes along. Then, Jim, I suppose I should mention maybe there, yeah. I suppose you mentioned change, I suppose. Look, we're kind of coming into time there now, the what we used to call the single payment time, I suppose, or the old area time, but that's something, this is all new names now. So this year is called BIS and CRIS and ECO, so we won't get into too much of that detail. I think Matt Murphy was on with you there a couple of weeks ago. But you're heading into that time there now, and the closing date for that will be the end of May. And but you'll find from here on now, farmers will be making appointments with advisors and getting that done. And I suggest maybe the earlier the move, the better. So it's probably going to be a little bit more work on it this year, you know.
So you'll be advising farmers that listening to us this morning, Donal, that, you know, they should be making an appointment sooner rather than later, because...
Not to leave it too late, you know, because there's probably going to be a bit more work. And then there is a lot of new schemes out there, aside of the main ones. You know, you mean the Young Farmer Scheme, the National Reserve, and then you have things like SAM, the TAMS, and the new Settler Welfare Programme that was announced there the other day as well. So, you know, there's quite a bit there, like, in terms of just getting the right formula for yourself, really. You know, the main way to do that is just make your appointment with your advisor and, you know, they're well up to speed and all that stuff, you know.
Right. Now, and the other thing that I suppose has seen some changes as well, and that's the derogation. So farmers that are in derogation, they have new things to be looking at for 2023.
Well, yeah, the derogation is becoming very, very important. The all farmers that are require a derogation, those plans have to be submitted by the 14th of April. There was an extension there that was the end of March, but it's gone to the 14th of April now. But so again, there's we have a group of advisors that have been working full time in those for the last couple of months, and they're going well, but there's still a few people there that need to get stuff in, and just encourage that there to happen. I suppose one thing maybe to mention with the derogation, and it's crucial for farmers, you know, particularly any of the more highly stocked farmers, it's crucial to retain the derogation. And the problem with it is, if you did fall foul out of it, there's a new rule in there now where you'd actually be excluded from it for 2 years. And I suppose the most obvious one that is there at the moment is all farmers that are in derogation are required to do 20 grass measurements and upload them onto the Pasture Base Ireland. So our advisors are pretty well aware of those that are already doing that, and then sort of identifying those that maybe need to get up to the mark around that. They're putting on workshops for them and so forth like that. But also, even if the people can't do it themselves, you know, there is guys out there now that will actually do it and do it for money and stuff like that. So at least look one way or the other, that needs to get done.
Righty-o.
And that's maybe to mention the closing there for that banding as well now, I think, yes. On top. That's the closing there for that is the end of this month now.
That's right. It's only a few days down the line at this stage, you know. This is, Saturday the 25th, and, you know, there's not many more days left in March.
Most people think are on top of it at this stage.
Well, that's good. Now, you always have events coming up, so I'm quite sure there's a few events that you'd like to mention.
I agree, Jim. Yeah, things are pretty active, And I might mention one or two of them today or now. There's Party Costigan has a very nice dairy breeding event. Dairy and beef, I suppose, if you like. It's to do with kind of getting, you know, maybe a better stock from the dairy herd towards the beef end. So he has a Templemore Mart there on Wednesday next, the 29th at 7:45, and it'll be a kind of a combination of live demo and talk. So I would encourage anybody to go along to that, you know, because you'll be looking at maybe a set of cows with high EBI and another set beside them with lower EBI. Same with the calves, maybe out to them as well, and there's some good talks around that as well. So that's a Templemore Mart there on Wednesday night at 7:45. So we'd be encouraging many as possible to that, along to that. I might also maybe mention there, there's a clover event at Mark Lonigan's in Rose Green on the 4th of April at 11 o'clock. And again, anybody that's interested in clover, Mark has a good bit of experience in growing clover and maybe some of the learnings from it and some of the issues, some of the challenges around it. and to see how successful as that is and what contribution it can make to reducing fertilizer. There's a farm business options event on the in conjunction with the Leo, the local enterprise office, which is running in Thurles there at the moment. It's over a couple of nights. I think there's only one night left of that, but it is open for anybody who wants to attend the final night there. That's at 6:30 in Thurles on the 28th, which I think is Monday night.
28th is Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, and finally then we'll have a tucker breeding event at Jim Parkinson's there in the Wynn on the 6th of April. So Jim, there are three or four events that are coming up there now.
Yeah, and it's good to keep us here in TIP FM AgriPort in particular informed about the events that are coming up, because as you said, there's so many changes out there, Donal. Farmers need to be fully aware of them. Is there anything else before I let you off this morning?
No, that's good.
Yeah, well, look, at for this morning, I want to thank you ever so much for joining us. That, listeners, was Donal Milan, who is the regional manager for Chagas for North and South Tipperary. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Joe Lyons. Now, Joe is a councillor just across the border from us in Kilkenny, and he has an event running on next Thursday night. It is night, isn't it, Joe? It is, yeah?
Yeah, Thursday evening.
Thursday evening, yeah. The title of which is An Agri-Rural Forum, Protecting the Integrity of Agriculture and Rural Living. Good morning, Joe, and thanks very much for joining us. And will you ever tell me all about this conference that you're running that will have a big impact on how people think about farming here in Tipperary as well as in your own county, Kilkenny?
Very good. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe.
That's good.
Yeah.
We decided before Christmas to run this event in the spring, because there's obviously so many problems out there with farmers, with the farming community, and there's plenty of rural issues, as everyone knows. And we decided to get a few people together into the one hall and thrash it out and have a good questions and answer sessions.
Right.
So we have it going ahead next Thursday evening at 8 p.m. in the parish hall in Pelham. We have a few speakers there.
A good lineup of speakers now. Will you just run through them there for me?
Yeah, we have Minister Martin Hayden. He's the Minister for State at the Department of Agriculture. We have Sean Kelly, MEP for Ireland South. We have Senator Tim Lombard, who is an intensive dairy farmer, and he's the spokesperson on agricultural food and forestry in the Shannon. And then we have Paddy Phelan, who's from Southeast Energy Agency. There is so much going on with as regards energy and in that area. And then we also have John Paul Phelan, TD. We have Kilkenny Embrace Farm, and they are to do with farm safety.
Farm safety,
farm wellness and all that.
Correct.
And then we have the Mochrane Firm and the local Gardaí with rural crime issues and all that. James Fitzgerald, he's the Callan Co-op manager.
Right.
The Callan Co-op is an independent co-op and has been for the last 120 or 30 years. And the day after this event, they're actually officially opening their new revamped building.
Okay, well, that's good. You said it there at the beginning, Joe, you know, why you're running the event. Will you just, I suppose, expand on that?
Yeah, well, you see, over the past year or 2 years, we've met farmers on a regular basis, and they have many issues, and obviously it's easier to get all the farmers into a place and have the relevant people there and have a questions and answers session and let them get an answer to their questions and try and go forward that way. And it's the only way, because running over and back between ministers and senators, it's a lot easier to get them all into the one room and have a good session there with them. And Fine Gael have actually run three of these already, and we went to one of them and it was very successful. And we were talking to some of the local farmers after it, and they were delighted with it. Now, there was a lot of, obviously, tough questions and usually what you'd expect at a debate and all the rest. But they were happy going home that they're, you know, most of them got their answers. The ones that didn't, at least they have a contact made, and it'll proceed from there then.
Okay. The title then, Agri and Rural Forum. Why the title, and who are you reaching out to?
Well, actually everybody in this rural area, like Callan is like we're right beside you in Tipperary there, but it has a huge hinterland, and it's a very intensive dairying area, and there's an awful lot of, say, over at east side of the border, there's so many, even there's a small few in sucklers and beef, and like the main thing is dairying. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to attract all those people. So everybody is welcome. Anybody that's welcome that's involved in the rural or the agri end at all, they're more than welcome to this event.
Okay, now we went through the line of speakers, so we know who they are. But farming, the sector itself is under pressure at the moment, especially the dairy sector with regard to intensification. You know, it seems to run contrary to government policy, I suppose, in many ways with regard to climate change and the environment. So a lot of dairy farmers are apprehensive about their future.
Yeah, and like agriculture is responsible for 37% of emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it globally, it's only Ireland, the country itself, is only 0.1%, I think, of global emissions, which seems small, but on our end of it, it's fairly big, and agriculture has been pinpointed for a target to reduce it. Mm. And that's, therein lies the problem. Mm. And you have some people like they will not want to reduce their herd, and for obvious reasons. And you have people that have invested heavily, and their income is, that's what keeps them afloat. And that's where the whole problem is. So we're hoping that Martin Hayden and Sean Kelly and a few of them will have some of the answers or going forward what to do, because like the green agenda is like climate action is out there and something has to be done. We can't run away from it, and you know that it has to be given up. But in fairness to farmers, so far they have been very, you know, very active in like the sustainability and all that, and like they have been, you know, they've been asked to do it.
I would say that, and I think they've done probably more than any other sector at the moment.
Absolutely.
So this conference probably, or this forum you're having, will be something that there might be some positives coming out of. We're all very conscious, Joe, of the age profile of farmers, so, and we want to get young people in it. So what's there for the young farmer?
Well, that's it. We have a speaker there from Kernaferma, and she is the chairperson, Josephine O'Neill, and she's coming along to give her views and that end of it of young farmers. And like there's so many obstacles in the course of farming, you'd wonder, should you or shouldn't you do it? Mm-hmm. And then you also have the price of land, which is not dropping, it's going the other way. And like the whole thing, it's a type of a headache, but it's a profession that people actually love. And like they should have more assistance with it. And I know over the years, like we have been getting money from Europe and all the rest, and everything helps, but like to keep the young people interested, not having leaving the country or leaving the profession, like something more has to be done. And hopefully we'll get this message across on Thursday night.
This kind of personal question to yourself, Joe, you know, we've been talking about the event more than anything else up to now. Do you feel rural Ireland is a changing place at the moment?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And rural Ireland is changing. Every 20 years, rural Ireland changes.
Right.
But you'd have to commend the rural people, the way they change with it, you know. And like if you look at when we were young, back in the 60s and 70s, everything has changed so much. You know, there's, like, the basics are there. And there's so much, but what's... As regards the farming section, the red tape and the paperwork, it's a killer, you know, and the work is hard enough, especially if you get bad weather. The work is hard enough, but the paperwork and the red tape and all what you have to do and comply, the compliance is huge out there. But it's a brilliant job, and it's a job that people actually love.
Staying rather personal to yourself as well, and to both the people of South Kilkenny the borders here with Tipperary, you know, is rural Ireland being served properly at the moment by the state? You know, everything is inside in the cities except land, and they have access to all kinds of amenities, would be the best word for it, and particularly amenities that take place after your day's work.
Yeah, well, to answer that, I suppose, Like there is a divide.
Yeah.
We're probably looking in the last couple of years, particularly the last 3 years, Minister Heather Humphreys has pumped a lot of money into rural Ireland, and that is coming through now between playgrounds and walkways and trails, and that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to look at the other side then, and transport is a huge thing. Public transport. If you're in the country, it's very hard to get public transport,
mm-hmm.
and obviously, and I think that's something that could be looked at as well. And they're telling people don't use their cars, use public transport, but that's grand if you're in, say, Dublin or Cork or Limerick or Galway, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. But other than that, now I think it's something that could be like the if you look at the Ringiling,
yeah,
that's fairly successful, and they could build on that. That could be something that they could actually progress with and pump more money into it.
Well, something we're going to have to do, because you quite yeah. rightly said there are people, if we can't start using our cars, okay, and a lot of rural people don't have the necessary income to go electric with our cars, so they do need to be able to get to the services that are in our rural towns. So one would expect that some government might make it a priority to make certain sure that the links between the rural parts of Ireland with the main towns and cities would improve.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. And like all these greenways are great, they're grand for cycling and tourists and all the rest. But at the end of the day, it is, as you were saying, the cars, to get cars off the road and help the green agenda and the climate change and all the rest.
Yeah, we'll have to. Anyway, look, at I'm running out of time, but would you ever remind the listeners, and I'm quite sure a lot of them, particularly Tipperary people close to your border, and Callan, as I said, there's only you nearly jumped from one county into the other where you are. Would you ever remind them of the event that's taking place? And I don't think we mentioned that the former president of the IFA is your chair, Eddie Downes.
I've just us here as the last thing.
Yeah,
but it's on next Thursday evening in Callan Parish Hall, and everybody is welcome. It's the Agri Rural Forum. And we have the speakers, as we said already, and who's chairing it is, you're right there, I didn't say him, is Eddie Downey. And he's the National Agricultural, Food and Rural Development Chairperson. And the forum we attended, he was excellent. He was really, really good, very fair, and listened to everyone. So Everyone is welcome from every side of the border. We welcome people from Tipperary all the time. But they're more than welcome next Thursday night at 8 p.m. in Callan Parish Hall.
Okay, well, look at Joe. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was Joe Lyons, who is a councillor in Kilkenny. Listeners, on next Wednesday, there's going to be a new programme on television, the title of which is Food Matters. And with me to talk about it is the man himself, Michael Kelly from Grow It Yourself. And Michael is going to tell me all about it. Good morning, Michael, and thanks very much for joining us.
Morning, Jim. How are you doing?
It was a while ago since the two of us spoke.
It certainly is. It feels like it's been a couple of years anyway.
Well,
yeah.
I think it feels like a lifetime, Michael. I think I remember talking to you when you started all this off. And how long ago was that now?
2008 we started. We have definitely spoken since then, though, Jim, I know.
Have we?
I'm sure of that. But yeah, we started in 2008 down in Waterford. So it's been quite the journey since then, you know.
Yeah, because usually I've been getting one of your other colleagues that work with you has been coming on the show with me. But look at, if we have spoken in the intermeeting period, I'm beginning to suffer from Alzheimer's, so that things aren't good. So look at, you're going back on the telly.
Yeah, we are. So this coming Wednesday on RT1 at 8:30, so we're back with a new series. So the last time we did this, we had a series called Grow Cook Eat, which was very much mm-hmm. about the sort of the nuts and bolts of how to grow food. And I think, you know, we felt we wanted to bring that audience on kind of a new journey, I suppose, into the sort of bigger picture kind of sustainability of the food chain and the food system sort of discussion. So that's what we've done. I suppose we've looked at the food system through the lens of six different themes. So there's the six episodes. So we've got an episode on loving soil and an episode on supporting local producers and eating more plants and, you know, those kind of themes. So it's it's really me going on a journey and meeting the kind of people and projects that are trying to build a more sustainable food system from the ground up. So it's been a really, really interesting journey, and hopefully the viewers will think the same, you know, and feel a bit inspired by what they see.
Yeah, and you know, and I know you do an awful lot of travelling and you do an awful lot of talking, and you see an awful lot of things that have happened since 2008, Michael. And are we beginning to build a more sustainable future at this particular period, time in history?
Oh, God, what a great question. I mean, partly, I suppose, I feel very optimistic about, you know, the as I said, the people and projects that I met. But at the same time, we need to be realistic that these kind of projects are still very much in the minority, and the mainstream sort of is definitely not sustainable as things stand. I think the, you know, globally the our food system is responsible for about a third of greenhouse gas emissions, so it's up there as one of the leading causes of climate change, you know, with transport and energy and so on. So it's a big contributor to the problem. And at the moment, you know, we're very, I think we're a bit off a turning point, where we start to do things, you know, really differently. But at the same time, there's hope, you know, there's definitely a groundswell of people who are trying to do things a little bit differently and produce food in a way that doesn't have this, you know, catastrophic effect on the planet and on human health, you know.
And Michael, sorry, excuse me, you know, would you be an advocate then of the way in which we'd say my father's generation, and I'm really talking about somebody who was born in 1907, and then, of course, nothing really changed for the next 60 years. And we produced an awful lot of food here in this country, and we eat it ourselves.
Yeah, partly, I suppose. In reality as well, though, you know, there's a lot more people on the planet to feed than there was back then, you know. So we've got 8 billion people on the planet. I don't know how many it was in the 1920s, but it certainly wasn't anywhere near that number. So I suppose there's a huge volume of people, of mouths to feed. So I suppose I'd love to think if we could go back to people growing their own food, that'd be the way to do it. But of course, like 60-70% of people around the world live in cities, and you know, that's it's not possible for everybody to do that. But at the same time, I think there are kind of modern interpretations with technology of some of those older ways of doing things that can feed, you know, a huge amount of people without, you know, without causing the damage that the conventional food system is. And definitely, like, one of the contributors in the series that jumps to mind for me, there's a farmer called James Foley in West Waterford, who's an organic dairy farmer. So he's like, you know, oftentimes organic growing can get dismissed by conventional farmers and others as sort of not real farming, you know, that it's somehow kind of opting out. But James is milking 200 cows. He's got, you know, it couldn't be considered small by anybody's sort of measure, and he's doing it in a way where he's not using chemicals to you know, to grow his grass. He's not using sort of chemical fertilizers, and he's doing what he's doing by and large using multi-species swards, so new types of grasses that can be grown without fertilizer and you know, produce his milk in an organic way. So I suppose what we wanted to show was real examples of food being produced at scale without you know, without as much damage to the planet, you know.
Michael, you mentioned there about population growth, and I'm quite sure that has gone up by many, many billions since 1907. But we are all aware that population will probably start dropping by 2050, and that, I suppose, will definitely help. But what can we do in the intervening period? You know, we still have a long way to go before we get to 2050.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, climate change is happening now. So so like we've seen, for example, the unpredictable weather patterns that have settled in and become the norm effectively. Now we've had three droughts in the last 5 years in this country in the summer, which is very unusual. You know, obviously there's huge problems with the weather in Spain and Holland at the moment, which is why we're seeing shortages of some crops that we typically import from them at this time of the year. So that's becoming a real factor. I suppose what we wanted to show was that there are decisions that we can make as consumers and that farmers and food producers can make that can make a difference. So we know, for example, you know, some of the biggest themes, eating more plants, all of the science tells us that if we bring some more plant-based, veg-based meals into our diets each week, and it doesn't have to mean giving up meat, but it's definitely about bringing more veg into your diet and having more veg-based meals each week. Can make a huge difference. We know that wasting less food can make a huge difference, and we have an episode about that as well. Eating with the seasons, and you know, I suppose one of the ironies at the moment is we're talking about shortages of tomatoes and peppers and so on, but of course those veg are not in season in Ireland at the moment. So if we were to follow the seasons and follow what's available in our local area at the moment, we'd be eating things like cauliflower, you know, leeks, kales, things like that, and not eating tomatoes and peppers and things at this time of the year. So that's a very different way of eating, but a much more sustainable way to eat, because by default you're eating food that's produced in your locality. So I think there are practical steps that we can take, and obviously growing some of your own food, even if it's only 5% of the food you eat, can make a huge difference, because it sort of, I think it teaches you about the food system, and it can change your overall your food behavior when you do go into the supermarket. So I think there are changes we can make, and I think the urgency of climate change, you know, demands that we do make those changes, and that those changes are supported by government and supported by all the stakeholders in the food system.
Okay, well, look, before I let you go, and I really want to thank you for taking 10 minutes out of what is for you an extremely busy day. Every day is a busy day for Michael Kelly. Michael, but just remind my listeners again, you're back on our television screens on next Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're back, Jim. It's 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays for 6 weeks from this coming Wednesday on RTE1 and the RTE Player. And actually, we have a fantastic website as well to support the show, which is foodmatterstv.ie. So there's loads more, you know, behind this. There's loads more information and links for people that are kind of, you know, interested in the themes of the show. And we really hope people sort of watch and engage with that and ultimately make up their own mind. You know, there's no sense of us trying to browbeat people into this. Like, really what we wanted to do was present the information to people, show them that there are alternatives, and let people make up their own minds about what changes they can make in their lives.
Okay, Michael, as always, a pleasure talking to you. That, listeners, was Michael Kelly from Grow It Yourself, and the programme starts on RTE Television on next Wednesday at 8:30. Listeners, ChangeX launched community funds in 9 locations across Ireland on behalf of Green Coat Renewables. And 3 of those locations are here in Tipperary. And they are Kill Hills near Douala, Glen Carberry in Holyford and Unconnock in Grange. And with me to talk about it, I have Kim Gray. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Now, Kim, you know, none of my listeners, I would imagine, except those people living near where the three locations are in Tipperary, probably don't know anything about the actual projects that has been launched, and know little or nothing about Change X. So could you tell me a little bit of the background of Change X for me, please?
Absolutely. So Change X is a platform that connects people with ideas and funding to strengthen their communities. And I'm here today to tell you about a fund we've just launched on behalf of Greencoat Renewables. So the fund is part of a wider nationwide launch across Cork, Kerry, Donegal, Cavan, Kilkenny. And today we're obviously talking about the Tipperary piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the new funding supports local groups living near Greencoat-owned wind farms to start or expand projects that create a positive social or environmental impact in their community. So there's approximately 60,000 in funding available to communities in Tipperary, and that's split across three areas. So the Kilhills, the Glencarbery, and the Knock areas. This is the third year that these wind farms are running funds on the ChangeX platform. So over the last 2 years in Tipperary, these funds have supported a whole range of local initiatives, some of which include a biodiversity centre, tidy towns groups, a social centre community cafe, and a grow-it-yourself garden in a school. So in terms of eligibility, if you live within a 10-kilometre radius of any of these three Tipperary wind farms, so Kilhill, Glencarbery, or Knock.
Right. So you have to be living within a radius of 10 kilometres from the windmills themselves. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then I know you mentioned a list of the type of projects that a community mm-hmm. might get involved in order to be able to draw down the funds allocated to that particular area. Is there any restrictions on the type of projects?
Yeah, so I can go into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
So in terms of the application process, mm-hmm. there's two ways that communities can apply. The first is applying to start a portfolio of ideas. So choosing from an existing portfolio of ideas on the ChangeX site. And we've listed a range of ideas there. So they include a repair cafe, a series of walks and talks about local heritage. Or the second option is you can apply if you have your own new or existing project. You can apply for up to €10,000 of funding. And your idea needs to fall within one of the following themes. So those themes are health and well-being, sports and recreation, education, energy, sustainable environment, or culture and heritage.
Right, so it's wide-ranging enough for any local community should be able to come up with a project to be able to use up the funds that is available to them.
Absolutely. People are very creative with the ideas they come mm-hmm. up with, and it is wide-ranging. The purpose is really to the local communities, so there's a wide-ranging set of themes within which they can apply.
Talking then about applying, you know, is there a deadline?
Yes, so the deadline to apply is the 28th of April next month.
Right.
And then we'll let people know by the end of May.
Given that it's a 10-mile radius, you probably will have communities vying with each other, local communities vying with each other to draw down this money. There'd be competition between them, I presume.
There may be a competition.
Yeah.
There is a, you know, an application process, and the funding is, you know, it's 60,000, and often communities, you know, might need a couple of thousand or sometimes a few hundred to get started. So they are given out fairly among the communities.
Okay. Now, I take it as well that these wind farms are commercial ones. They're not community wind farms.
Yes.
They're commercial. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, okay. Is there anything else you can tell us about them? I'm just looking at the money that's been allocated to the Tipperary ones. There's 11,000 to support projects in Knock. There's 17,000 to support projects in Kill Hills. And there is 8,000. No, that's Kilkenny. The Glen Carberry wind farm, there's 33,000. So there'll be people knocking your doors down to try to draw down that fund when they hear this radio programme.
We hope so. We're looking forward to reviewing the applications in the coming weeks.
Okay. What you're saying to the people in those catchment areas that get thinking now and get their projects in by, what was it, the end of April?
The 28th of April.
Yeah,
so just to let them know, if you go to the changex.org, is the website, changex.org, you can click through to see any live funds near you. And then if you do have any questions, you can email support@changex.org. Our message would be to tell your friends, tell any teachers in the area, neighbours, colleagues, community leaders in Knock, Kill Hills and Glen Carberry areas. And there's approximately €60,000 in funding available for community projects across the three areas.
And am I right in saying that when I heard you earlier in the programme that ChangeX has been running for what, the last 3 years?
And this particular initiative has been running on ChangeX through 3 years for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And yes, there's been funding over the last few years within Tipperary, which has already seen really positive initiatives in terms of tidy towns groups and a grow yourself garden in a school, a biodiversity centre. So yeah, we're looking forward to seeing what the Tipperary community come up with this year.
Well, look at Kim, thanks you ever so much for taking some time out to join us here on Tip FM. I'm quite sure we will have, I suppose, those communities in those three areas have started thinking about what they're going to be sending in to you by the 28th of April. But again, thanks a mil for joining us. That, listeners, was Kim Gray talking about Change X. People living in those three areas will be able to avail of funds to be able to do something to enhance their community.
Thank you. Take
care. Okay, thanks very much, Kim. Before I sign off this morning, just to remind you of an event that's taking place in Cabra Wetlands, and it is an illustrated talk by Kevin Collins on migration. It's on Tuesday evening, the 28th of March, that's next Tuesday, and it starts at 7:30 p.m. The event is free, there will be a raffle on the night, and non-members are very welcome. That, listeners, is AgReport for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week for another AgReport on Tip FM. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock. And after that, Eamon Dwyer presents Down Your Way.